Why do you need to stand firm together? Why do you need to strive together for the gospel? Well, there's opposition, that's why. The term opponent speaks of someone who is standing against. Those who are hostile, in opposition, those who are contrary, those who are adversaries. This opposition comes in the form of people and it manifests in conflict.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, in your message today, you talk about what may be one of the most difficult aspects of the Christian life, and that's opposition from those who are inside the church.
Indeed, Dave, if you've been a Christian for more than a little while, you've probably experienced opposition. And interestingly, the Apostle Paul warned us over 2,000 years ago that one of the greatest threats to the church would not be simply external opposition, but internal. Yet how can we spot this and then stand firm together against it? Today we're going to begin to look at this. So turn with us to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 27 through 30.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
It's the Word of God that enables us to walk in accordance with our calling. It's the Word of God changing a heart and a mind, helping us to become like Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 1. We'll see the same thought, but in a different way. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. This is for believers. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may, what? Be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You would know His will in the spiritual sphere, which comes from the Word of God, right? So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. We see here, back in our passage in Philippians chapter 1, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Live only as heavenly citizens in a consistent manner with the gospel. The gospel is the reality of what Christ did for us to bring about the forgiveness of sins, to call us out of darkness into light, to change us, to save us, to make us like Christ. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy. And so within that, we see the standard of our behavior should be consistent with the truth of what the gospel brought forth and the intent of the gospel, which was to save us, ultimately to bring us in a state of glory with the Lord forever and ever. We are to live in a manner worthy of the great calling. We are always to live in light of our heavenly citizenship. Now, this presupposes that we have come to faith in Jesus Christ. So as a believer, do you name the name of Christ? Is your desire to be obedient to God's word and to the Lord? Well, we are commanded here to live only in a manner worthy of the gospel. Now, we can think of all different applications. There, you know, we can understand from the word what sin is and what it is, and we can understand what's worthy and what's not. But there's some specifics here that we're going to see that he's going to share, that this worthiness of the gospel is going to be specifically pointed towards how you respond in the midst of difficulty. You see, because when difficulty comes, we sometimes lose it, don't we? When trials come upon us, we can get angry, we can get worried. Whatever it might be, those are reactions that come upon us. We can respond wrongly. We can complain and grumble. We can have difficulties, faction, whatever it might be, things between us because of difficulties. And he's going to say, in light of that, here's the way you should walk worthily, body of Christ, in the midst of that. So it's not speaking of the only way we walk worthy, but he's going to give a specific example here now at this point. We're going to see what living in this manner looks like. Verse 27 again. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then look at this. So that whether I come and see you or remain absent, so that, hey, if I'm set free from my chains and I see you or I remain absent, but I hear about what's going on, he says, I may hear that you are what? First, standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed at your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. And that too is from God. He's saying they should conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel so that, or in order that, these things will be manifest. This will be the fruit of walking righteously in the midst of the opposition that comes your way. This is what it should be looking like. And it encourages us to understand that, as we're going to see. So that whether I come and see you or I remain absent, I may hear of you. Very concerned about their spiritual state. He cares about where they are with Christ. And then he gives three things that he desires to hear about them. Three things that I want to hear about you if you're standing firm in the gospel. These three things are evidences of a worthy walk. They're manifestations of a worthy walk, of having a right heart before the Lord, confessing sin, abiding in Christ, obeying his word. They're manifestations of that in the body of Christ when difficulties come. Well, notice the first mark of a biblical church. And this isn't all the marks of biblical. This is just in this particular sphere. There are other things that make churches biblical. But in this false sphere, in regards to opposition, here's the first mark. He says that you are standing firm in one spirit. It is you all, Philippian church, not you and you, but you all, Philippian church, that you are standing firm in one spirit. Now, our text presupposes why they need to stand firm. Look down at verse 28. In no way alarmed by your opponents. Why do you need to stand firm together? Why do you need to strive together for the gospel? Well, there's opposition, that's why. The term opponents speaks of someone who is standing against. Those who are hostile, in opposition, those who are contrary, those who are adversaries. Now later on, Paul is going to make clear that this opposition certainly comes in the form of people and it manifests in conflict. Now certainly we know our battle is not against flesh and blood. We know that from Ephesians. Our enemy is ultimately Satan, but he has his cronies. He has his people who are in his domain who do his bidding whether they understand it or not, held captive to do his will. And so that opposition does come through in the form of people. It's ultimately Satan that our battle is against. But it comes in the form of people. Look down in verse 29. For it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. He's saying, you're having the same thing happen to you that you saw happening to me when I was with you, and now is happening to me when I'm not with you. So what is that conflict? What is the opposition? What is it? That term conflict means agona. It means agony. But conflict. Well, what is it? Well, certainly he's not speaking simply of the Roman chains for the gospel. Because the Philippians were not in chains for the gospel. And he wasn't in chains when he was with them and they saw that conflict with him. He's speaking of a conflict that he is going through now and had gone through in their presence. And that the Philippian church was experiencing also. Well, what's that conflict? Well, certainly we see often this conflict comes in the context of false brethren. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, he will warn them about the dangers to their faith. He will warn them. Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Beware of the fakers, who are the opposite ones. Beware of them. They're false. We're true. They're the ones that are not like us. We worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh, implying they do the opposite. Beware of them. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul writes about all his difficulties. He points about, first of all, where the trouble comes from, ultimately from Satan. And then he goes on to explain what happened to him in terms of how it's manifest in people. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. But what I am doing, I will continue to do. that I may cut off opportunity of those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter in which they're boasting. He's saying there are people that want to be like us. They want to be the leaders. They want to be the apostles like us. But notice what he says. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, or workers of deceit, literally, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. Again, I say, let no one think me foolish, but if you do, receive me even as foolish, that I may boast a little. That which I am speaking, I am not speaking as the Lord, but as in foolishness, in this confidence of boasting. Since many boast according to the flesh, I'll boast also. He's saying, hey, these false guys, they boast about all their ministry stuff. Well, let me boast about what's really going on here. He says, for you being so wise, bear with the foolish gladly. For you bear with anyone who enslaves you, if he devours you, if he takes advantage of you, if he exalts himself, if he hits you in the face. Talking about the bad guys. To my shame, I must say, I've been weak in comparison. But in whatever respect anyone else is bold, I speak in foolishness. I am just as bold myself. He's speaking of the bad guys. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, in dangers of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I spent in the deep. I have been in frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, dangers among false brethren. You see, the Philippians didn't have shipwrecks. They didn't have all that stuff, but the danger they had was among those who were false. There's opposition within the church to the truth of the gospel, as we're going to see. Facing opposition. And when you respond rightly, they will oppose you even more, and you need to know how to respond. One other passage I want to share with you. Turn to Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul was quite aware that the church would be infiltrated from without and within, and that this would be dangerous for the body of Christ. There'd be opposition. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, Paul shares to the Ephesian elders in his last words to them, among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Very valuable, purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. They're going to come in and just rip the flock apart. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things. They're going to twist things. Why? To draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. There's opposition from false brethren. There's opposition from those in sin. There's opposition from the world. There's opposition from those, obviously, in the world that don't know Christ, which is the world. And Paul says that they would experience the same conflict, or were experiencing the same conflict which they saw in him, and he is going through now. So back in our text. So how is the church to walk in a manner worthy concerning the opposition that they're going to encounter? Because we're going to encounter people that are opposed to the truth. And it's going to be within. They're going to be opposed to what is truly right in the Word of God concerning your relationship with Christ. They're going to be opposed to things, but maybe very subtle, like we say, sneaking in, deceptive, whatever it might be. How are we to respond? Only conduct yourselves, back in Philippians 1:27, in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit. The term one spirit doesn't speak of the Spirit of God. It speaks of one mind or soul, in a sense. It's in parallel with that. It's speaking of unity. That when I come back, you as the body of Christ, Philippians here specifically, you are united in your stance against the opposition. You're not divided. You're not all fighting among yourselves. You are united. He says, standing firm. The term comes from the Greek word steko. Think of a stake. Standing firm, right? Steko. It speaks of holding position. It was often used to speak of soldiers who would refuse to leave their posts no matter how difficult the battle was. Standing firm together, holding that position with one spirit, that you would be thinking the same thing. You'd be thinking rightly together concerning the opposition. You'd be thinking rightly concerning the Word of God, that you'll be standing firm together, that I will come back and I'll see that, Paul says, or I will hear about it. You see, we need to stand firm against the opposition to the truth in the body of Christ. We need to stand firm together and with one spirit. Now, we're going to see later on there are two things connected to this, the next two things. The standing firm is the main verb, and then there is the striving together, which is underneath that, and also not being afraid of opposition. So standing firm is the main thing, standing, holding your position, but also within that, striving together and not being alarmed. It all connects to it. So we have here, we are to live as heavenly citizens only that way in a manner worthy of the gospel so that they would stand firm. Live in a godly manner and stand firm. This thing speaks of a position of unity, standing firm in one spirit. We see other passages that use this word. Chapter 4, verse 1, stand firm in the Lord. That's how we do it. We've got to stand firm in Him. Chapter 4, verse 1. You can't stand firm apart from the Lord. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We see that it is standing firm directly in the context of faith in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now this word's different than what we have in Ephesians 6, just on a side note. It's speaking of standing and holding that position here. This is the one we're looking at from our passage and also 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But now Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love. Faith in Jesus and your love for the saints. And that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. And then he explains, for now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. You can't stand firm in the Lord unless you are trusting in the Lord. You trust in the Lord. You believe what he said. You stand firm in him. Standing firm in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith. Act like men, Paul says. Don't be wimps, Corinthians. Stand firm in the faith, stand firm in the Lord. He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, turn there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We see the word of God connected now with this standing firm in the faith. 2 Thessalonians 2. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 13. Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. That's the process. And it was for this he called you through our gospel so that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to what? The traditions which you were taught, whether by word or mouth or letter from us. The word of God. Stand firm in the faith, stand firm in the Lord, stand firm in the context of the Word of God. Stand firm in that, because there are people who will subtly oppose it. They will do it very deceitfully, as we'll see. They'll do it very openly. And we need to stand as a unified position in Christ, firm in the faith, trusting in Him through His Word. Stand firm. Hold fast to His Word by faith. So back to our passage. Only live in a manner worthy of the gospel so that when Paul comes, he may see them in unity and hear of them standing firm. So that whether I come and see you or remain absent, middle of verse 27, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit. So the first mark of a biblical church within this smaller context in regards to opposition is standing firm in unity in the context of trusting the Lord and holding to His word. In a unified manner, in the body of Christ. And to do that, you need to be in the Word, don't you? Churches that don't teach the Word, churches that don't know the Word, aren't standing firm in the Word. They can't. They'll be tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine. Stand firm. The church walking in a worthy manner of the gospel is standing together, united in the truth revealed in Scripture, believing in the God who shared it. Indeed, Paul tells Timothy that the church of the living God is the pillar and support of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Hold your ground in unity, together in one spirit, stand firm in Christ and the truth. Now we know that unity comes in the context of like-mindedness. We'll see this in chapter 2 as we get into that next week. When we have the mind of Christ, when we have his word flowing through our hearts, we think the same way. Stand firm in the truth. Learn that we need to be learning it. We need to hold our position, stake-o, holding our position. Well, notice there's also a striving together. Second point. He says that I may hear you standing firm in one spirit. And then he says, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. With one mind, striving together, Philippians, all the church there, for the faith of the gospel. We have two phrases connected together. As I told you earlier, we have that we are to be standing firm. That's the actual command. And then we have a participial phrase, ing. Standing firm. So stand firm and then striving together with one mind for the faith of the gospel. Now this term with one mind is kind of, I think, maybe not the best translation, because we're going to see this term mind actually in chapter 2, and it's a different word, phroneo, which speaks of thinking. Here, this word is actually the word psuche, which speaks of the soul or the life. He's saying, and that was the sphere of the emotions, the reason and will. It's our very being. It's our psuche. And he says here that we are to be striving together in the context of our entire being. With our entire beings together, striving together. This word striving together is actually two Greek words. Soon, which speaks of together or with. Athleo speaks of striving. Think of the word athletics. If you speak of an athletic contest, it's where someone is exerting energy to win the game or whatever it might be. But yet, as we'll see in athletics, there is teams also. Striving together. Soon, athleo. Competing as an athlete in an athletic event. He gives an analogy. Striving together for what? The faith of the gospel. A coordinated effort together. Folks, you think about it when it comes to sports. It's quite obvious the team is only as good as its weakest link. Teamwork must abound for victory. We need to strive together.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's program, give me some ways to stand firm without being rude or obnoxious to those around me.
You know, Dave, often the expected result of standing firm in the faith is opposition. And within that confrontation, things can become uncomfortable. But it doesn't mean that our approach is inherently rude or obnoxious. Now, in reality, to be graciously, humbly, honestly proclaiming the truth of God, we need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And when He is guiding us and our words will be filled with truth and grace no matter how people perceive us. I would encourage you to not fear men, but fear God. You see, as the writer of Proverbs would share, the fear of man brings a snare. When we trust God and not fear men, He enables us to respond in a way that is Christ-like. And in order to have that type of Christ-like response, we need to be prepared.
And that time preparing in God's Word for these situations will be well spent both now and for eternity.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.